The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
You're very welcome back to The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock. If you have just joined us, we are in Boston, Massachusetts again today. We have been having a great time. We are here with Ireland Gateway to Europe, and there is so much to talk about, so many people to talk to in this great city, so many business stories. I mean, we are here with a business delegation looking to drum up and increase transatlantic trade, east-west trade between Ireland and the United States. So we're going to hear a bit more about that later in the show. Myself and Jess Kelly go on a hunt for the best buttery lobster roll that we can find in this city and a whole lot more besides. So it is a great city. It is a city I know that, and I keep saying this, but it is true, so many of you listening will know so well. With me now as somebody plying his trade in this great city, Daniel H. Daneshvar. He is the Chief of Brain Rehabilitation in Harvard Medical School. And the reason that Daniel is here to chat to us is because of the Chronic Traumatic Encephalopathy Center, the CTE Center, that exists in this city. It researches the long-term consequences of repetitive brain trauma in athletes. Daniel, you are welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome to Boston, and the best lobster roll in the area is at Neptune Oyster House.
Well, there's a plug, Neptune Oyster. Well, I think we have a long list of places people keep recommending, so we'll have to add Neptune Oyster House to the list when we try that out a little bit later. So, listen, for people maybe unaccustomed to this this area of work, what is CTE?
CTE is a neurodegenerative disease that's caused by repeated traumatic brain injuries. So we typically see it in athletes and military veterans. But really, your brain doesn't care what hits it. If you're getting hit in the head a lot, you're at risk of developing this neurodegenerative disease.
So this center, this kind of brain bank as well that exists therein, when did this get up and running and why? What was the reason for the research?
So the center got started in 2008. And the reason was that we first diagnosed CTE, this neurodegenerative disease. It's been around since the 1920s. We first diagnosed it in professional American football players. And that was really the impetus to realize that this disease has been kind of running under our nose for a long time. We used to think it was only in boxers, but once we started finding it in football players, we started finding it in rugby players, we started finding it in all kinds of athletes and military veterans that that otherwise weren't getting diagnosed.
And what were you finding? What is CTE in terms of the symptoms and how they manifest and how they impact people?
So at this point, CTE can only be diagnosed after someone passes away, and it's based on looking at their brain. But the people who we found have had CTE, they tend to have the same kinds of symptoms. The most common symptom is problems with thinking and memory. So that's pretty definitive for people who have CTE. Other symptoms that we see, though, are depression, mood swings, or what's called emotional lability, basically where you fly off the handle really quickly, or sometimes problems with movement, like Parkinsonism.
And would you say we can only identify it post-mortem at the moment? Why is that? Like, I know, again, you'll have to excuse my naivete, but I would have thought you'd go for kind of an MRI scan or something on your brain and you'd be able to say, oh, here's the signs of CTE. Yeah,
CTE is caused by a specific protein in the brain that you can only see by applying a special stain to that tissue. So there isn't any kind of an advanced stain or anything along those lines that shows up that protein. But that protein also shows up in other neurodegenerative diseases, the most common of which is Alzheimer's disease. But even for Alzheimer's disease, right, if one of our family members gets diagnosed, unfortunately, with Alzheimer's disease, we don't know for sure that they have that disease until after they pass away. The difference between Alzheimer's disease and CTE is we have a much better idea of exactly what Alzheimer's disease looks like, but even then, we only get it right about 85-90% of the time. And sometimes it's another disease that's causing those symptoms. So we're working on coming up with what are called diagnostic criteria for CTE specifically.
So what is causing, when you say repeated head traumas, like what is happening to the brain in its casing, in the skull, that causes this?
So the brain is free-floating inside of fluid called the cerebrospinal fluid. And when you get hit to the head, that brain can continue to move. And what we think is happening is there's a breakdown at the interface between where the brain tissue is and where the blood vessels are. That causes some leakiness between the two, which causes inflammation, which ultimately leads to neurodegenerative disease like CTE.
And is it, I mean, are there types of trauma or movements of the head that are more damaging in that sense?
So what we've best understood is that it's the cumulative force to the head that people get. So for example, in football, you have some people who get a lot of low force hits, like linemen. They're getting repetitive hits to the head. Some people who are getting more higher intensity but less frequent hits, like quarterbacks. And what we're learning is...
People listening to this in Ireland might not be sure where they are. So imagine the linemen are the guys who line up in front of each other and they're constantly banging into each other. I guess maybe from an Irish point of view, people might understand that more. Your forwards in rugby, they're in a scrum, they're constantly banging into each other, but they're not moving at great speed or great force. You know, you go to the backs in rugby, and this is maybe the quarterback example. They're not getting hit as often, but when they get hit, they might be running full belt, and the guy hitting them might be running full belt.
That's exactly right. And what we're seeing is it's the total amount of force. So if you add up all of the force that people are getting, so the number of hits times the force of those hits, that in total is the best predictor of who ends up getting CTE.
Oh, wow. Okay. So because had there been an understanding maybe previously that it was the more traumatic collisions that were causing it. But if you're kind of hit once and I'm hit and it's only kind of 10% of the force, but I go through that 10 times, the consequence is the same.
Yeah, we used to think that it was like concussions, like getting hit in the head, a really hard hit, the results and symptoms. But now we're realizing it's just the total force to the head. So even if you never have symptoms after you're hit, if you're hit 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 times, those forces all add up over time to increase your risk of having CTE.
Okay, because this is new to me, because I guess still in the sporting world, the focus is still very much on concussion, isn't it? Like that's where the concern is in terms of, you know, CTE developing. It's concussion, concussion, concussion.
Yeah, and concussions are certainly important, but they're only a small part of the story when it comes to CTE. So for example, in, again, American football, they put helmet sensors in athletes. And we know for an athlete who gets a concussion, we can look at them for that entire year, and we can realize that for each concussion an athlete gets, they get about 334 hits to the head that are of equal or stronger force than the force that gave them a concussion. So just because you don't have symptoms after getting hit in the head, if you're getting high force hits to the head, it's all of those hits that matter.
There'd be kind of parents listening to this kind of terrified at the prospect. I mean, what's the consequence, do you suspect, for sport?
I think the idea is we could continue to play sports in a similar way to the way we're playing it now, with just a little more knowledge that we should watch how many hits to the head our athletes are getting. So, for example, if we know it's the total amount of force to the head that's causing CTE, then maybe we don't need six-year-olds to go around banging their heads. Right? Maybe if we increase that age of starting contact sport, then we've introduced it later, you're cutting out all those hits to the head before they start playing. We also know that 2/3 of hits to the head happen in practices. So if you can change the way you practice, you can cut out up to 2/3 of the hits to the head. So there are ways that we can adjust the sport without fundamentally changing it and still enjoy the things we like.
Yeah, and it strikes me as well when you talk about the sensors in the helmets, and this might, you know, be harder to apply to all sports, but you know, where you've got that technology, you could rely on that technology as well, couldn't you?
Yeah, so you can put in sensors into helmets and monitor that in real time. So for example, in other sports, like in baseball, we have youth pitchers getting counted for each pitch they throw at the sideline so that we know how many pitches that person's throwing to protect their elbow.
Okay, they do that.
Yeah, but we're not doing anything to count the number of hits to the head that
any better protection for elbows than brains.
That's exactly right.
It is kind of mad when you put it that way. Yeah. So, I mean, to bring us back around then to the kind of the brain bank, how does that work? I guess people have to donate their brain, do they?
Yeah. So people either in life or after they pass away have their brains donated. So it's often the loved ones of people who have their brains donated. For analysis, they get studied. And the idea is that we are getting a better understanding of the relationship between getting hit in the head and the problems that people have later in life. And so for some people, that's CTE. But there's a whole host of other things that can happen after getting hit in the head a lot. You can imagine that getting hit in the head, getting an injury to your brain, can be associated with a bunch of different pathologies, a bunch of different problems. And so we're studying that. So for example, when I said that there was that relationship between the total force to the head and CTE, that's only been discovered because of the generous donation of families and individual friends.
And not to be too morbid about it, but I guess you need to know the history of the person as well. I mean, you're not kind of, you're not carrying out this work, these experiments and the research kind of on an anonymous basis. You need to know whose brain it is, don't you?
Yeah, so we have two different teams then. There's a pathologic team that's responsible for studying the brain. They don't know any of that information, who the person is, what their history was. They don't know if it was an athlete or a non-athlete, whether they had any hits to the head at all. And when they're conducting the pathology. And then there's a clinical side of the team, and it's our job basically to pull all the medical records and to talk to the families and to look up any records we have to figure out the complete picture of that person's life. So we generate that story while the pathologists determine what's going on pathologically. And then only after both teams are done do we come together and figure out the full picture.
And obviously with the professional hat on, you know, it's dealt with professionally, but there must be another part of you that kind of, you know, you're looking at some kind of NFL star from times gone by.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fortunate enough that my clinic also involves treating a lot of these professional athletes. So at this point, you know, they're patients or research participants to me.
And when those athletes appear and they're maybe displaying some of the signs and symptoms that you talked about earlier, and you maybe suspect that they're kind of suffering from CTE, there's no way to know for sure, as you say, yet, and that's where the work is heading. Because you don't know yet, are you then limited to just treating the symptoms?
Yeah. So there are a couple of misconceptions when it comes to CTE. The first that we talked about was that concussions are related to CTE pathology. But the second one is the one that you're highlighting here, where a lot of people, they get concerned that they might have CTE, and they think that it's a death sentence. They think that there's nothing can be done. But what we know is that we can adopt what we know from other neurodegenerative diseases to treat people, and a lot of them get better. And we might not be fundamentally changing the pathology in their brain, but if we can change how they're clinically feeling, then that's an incredibly valid and appropriate treatment to me.
Yeah, well, listen, if you're not feeling great and something makes you feel better, you don't really care what's happening behind the scenes, as a patient. You just care about how you feel, ultimately.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Listen, it's really interesting work, and we thank you for coming in and explaining it all so clearly to us, Dan. Thanks a million.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Daniel H. Daneshvar, he is Chief of Brain Rehabilitation in Harvard Medical School.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.